I always try to think of it being as a positive that, yes, I am fresh, but it also should show that I'm engaging and I'm willing to learn. I'm not here trying to put in a new system into your feed mill or something of that sort. I'm actually wanting to learn more, and I'm willing to learn more from especially someone that has maybe been in the same position for years prior. So
we want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. bioMérieux is a world leader in the field of diagnostics for more than 60 years. From pathogen detection to genomics and data applications, bioMérieux helps poultry manufacturers going beyond the test results. You can combat mycotoxins in your feed with Fumezyme from DSM Firmenich. Fumezyme is the only FDA-approved enzyme to degrade fumonisins. AB Vista offers pioneering products and technical services tailored to the poultry industry to help them succeed. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show. I'm Dr. Elizabeth Bobek, and today I'm here with Dr. Ariel Bajaran. Welcome!
Hi! It's nice to see you and be a part of this podcast. Thanks for the opportunity.
I'm really, really excited to have a chat with you today about some more career-related parts of the industry for students who might be listening that might want to move on. But first, I want to hear, how did you get into poultry?
That's can be a loaded question in some senses. So like most people, whenever they think that they want to get into any kind of ag or animal career, they think I want to be a veterinarian. So I actually started out at Louisiana State University under one of my great mentors still today, Dr. Teresa Laverne. And she kind of showed me the ropes of the poultry industry. She still kind of shows me the ropes of the poultry industry, I'll be completely honest. And I just kind of found my niche in poultry research and specifically poultry nutrition at that time. And I just kind of ran from there. So went on to my master's degree at West Virginia University under Joe Mortz, where I learned so many life lessons and how to have a great work ethic. And then from there, I decided that the industry was kind of going into more of a health phase or a gut health phase, or niche per se. And I went under Dr. Audrey McElroy at Texas A&M for my PhD. And she also taught me a great work ethic and also a phenomenal woman in our industry. So very proud to have her as a mentor as well.
That's awesome. There are so few like professors that are ladies.
Yes, for sure. So
that's really exciting that you had a few that were really influential in your career.
I was about to say, and I mean, not to toot a horn here, but you as well has been an influential mentor in my life, not only personally, but professionally as well. So
love that.
Thanks for being out there and showcasing what we can do in this industry. So I appreciate it.
Oh, I love to hear that. Well, I want to talk to you today about kind of just like the steps in the transition from grad student to industry, because it is a big leap depending on your training that you had.
Yeah.
A worldwide leader in animal nutrition, Adiseo's portfolio of products includes methionine, the full range of vitamins, enzymes, organic selenium, probiotics, mycotoxin management strategies, and palatability products. With such a diverse offering, Adiseo supports its customers with a broad range of expertise, tools, and services to help them maintain a competitive advantage. Adiseo, fueling predictable profits. To learn more, visit Adiseo at www.adiseo.com.
So maybe can you just talk about how you got into industry? I mean, and then we can talk about some other things, but what were the steps that you took? Like, what was the cliff that you jumped off of and then you got a big girl job?
Yeah, that led me to where I'm at. So when I kind of tell this story to other individuals in either students coming up or academics or just industry folk, they're like, what in the world? How did you have time? So while I was finishing up my dissertation, I had about 6 months left of just, you know, writing and everything. It was also in the midst of COVID, as well as, so there was a lot going against me, but the main thing that was going against me with, I immediately knew I wanted to go to Ally just to try to understand our industry a bit more. I kept being told that I didn't have experience, and I know a lot of students, a lot of individuals hear that when they're coming out, and I, can be very stubborn at some points. And I, in a goal set, I took that as a challenge. I said, oh, you don't think I have experience, but I've been in school for 10 years. Let me go out and try to get said experience. For around 6 months, 6 to 8 months, I worked with several integrators within the area of Brazos County, as well as working with several allied industries to running field research projects at the integrator in the area, as well as working with several now competitors, which is kind of funny, within the allied industry, and just trying to get a match to see what tech service actually is. From there, it was kind of comical when I went for my final interview at Adiseo, which I'm currently still at. I showed them all the work that I did for no pay, and they're like, imagine what you would do for pay. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I truly enjoy this industry. I have a passion for just like kind of learning more and how we could help not only academics, consumers, customers, so on and so forth. And it's just, it's nice whenever you enjoy your job, but it was just kind of putting myself out there and making sure that I am doing everything in my power to reach my end goal, which was getting a job.
Yeah, employment is important.
For sure. For sure.
So you kind of, I'll just call it a survey. You had a survey of different opportunities. What drew you to tech services, and what do you get to do in your daily job that I'm sure changes every hour?
Yeah. Funny that you say that, because that's actually why I went into tech services, was the monotony really isn't there. I'm always learning something new. I'm always doing something new. I'm always seeing a different place. So I always appreciate my job so much just because of the fact that every single day will be a different challenge. And I'm able to kind of utilize my brain a little bit more. I'm not saying any other part of the industry, you don't get a challenge. I'm sure you get one in academia as well as production. It's just, I kind of want it to be somewhat on that forefront of learning about those new innovations and how can we help those around us.
So would you say, I mean, just to kind of like a little further describe the tech services, even broader than your company, you're responsible for kind of implementing the customer facing aspect of the products that are being sold by the company? Are you, you're kind of troubleshooting with them and maybe setting up research? Is that kind of a very, in a nutshell? I'm sure it's a lot bigger, but like, if a student was interested in tech services, what are kind of a few key things that they might do just, I mean, outside of even the group you work with?
Practically what you explained, yes, that is tech service. Another thing that like I know several different groups do, we can actually help with like product development and as to how can this product actually launch within whatever region, specifically North America, because that's where we're at. But and how will it affect our customer or affect the region as a whole? So there's some kind of marketing strategy going on there as well, just to try to see, oh, will it flourish within this region, or is it not the time yet to kind of propose this new product, say, per se? Our service, that's another thing that, I mean, it's in the name tech service, but we provide a lot of services to our customers. And as you mentioned, like trying to troubleshoot or problem solve with them. And something I really enjoyed about my position is I'm not really a salesy person, but I'm a tech person, and I'm able to be that partner with my customer and try to, maybe my solution or my company's solution might not be the end all be all, but let's try to find an answer for you, whether it's with my company or the next company. So I really enjoy being that partnership with my customers.
Yeah. So moving from being in academics and then to the industry, what was the easiest and the hardest part of that? Like what was maybe a surprise that you weren't ready for, but maybe turned out to be exciting?
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of go into something or another hat I kind of wear within our my position at my company, which you were so lucky to be a part of, the Poultry Leaders of Tomorrow. That was one transition that was the easiest yet the hardest, and I'll give reasons why. I actually did it as a grad student, so I had like expectations as to what I would like to do within having that organizational role. It was very nice to meet with students. I always say that that part of my job is the part that fills my cup, per se. It's nice to meet with students and kind of see where they would like to be, and also talk about hard-hitting issues with the industry. And also meeting with different individuals in our industry that are highly influential and have that experience with the students. It was also the hardest part because it kind of brought me back to grad school in a sense. And I feel so bad for, you know, so many students that are trying to get those jobs. And they're just kind of trying to figure it out. And I feel and empathize with them because I was also at that spot. So just trying to help them understand that it's going to come. It's just sometimes timing isn't on us. It's, you know, it will come. So it's definitely something that fills my cup, is something close to my heart because I enjoy helping others, but it's also kind of gut-wrenching seeing that it's so hard to get a job, you know, so especially during that transitional phase.
So outside of maybe working alongside industry when possible, you know, if a student has a grant that is industry facing or whatever, maybe what are some suggestions, especially for us introverts, to get more interaction with industry, if you will, outside of, you know, these excellent programs like the Poultry Leaders of Tomorrow?
I would say, and I know, as you mentioned, introvert, you're an introvert. I'm very much an introvert. But sometimes you have to bend and mold in a sense to try to have that opportunity. So we have the great IPPE coming up and in January. And that's something that's always like draining to me just because you have to be kind of on it all the time. But having the ability to actually go speak to individuals in the industry, that's your platform or your ability to speak in person. Something that I did is I really utilized my network, you know, during that phase. Mm-hmm. And instead of being in a big group of people, I kind of did a one-on-one conversation with individuals that I knew they have been in the industry for a moment and try to get their advice. So I work better with that kind of situation rather than in that big, loud room environment. And I always say your network is your best tool out there. So just being able to have those intimate or candid conversations with people that you might believe are influential in the industry, and they could potentially help you get to your next goal of either having a job or say it's a project. And it's just utilizing your network. So I think that's a huge thing for me is, and I know it's very hard to be the life of the party sometimes. So just having one conversation is always very helpful.
So outside of learning how to grow and develop a network, what are some skills for students to think about that they might want to work on developing? Like, what did you find useful that you either did or didn't have? Like, looking in retrospect, we all have 2020, right?
Yeah, I think one big thing, and I thought I did a fairly decent job of this in grad school, but definitely learned to do it better within my career, is time management. So there is always time in the day, but sometimes there's not enough time in the day. So understanding that, oh, you might have a project due, say, on Friday, what are the parts of your day where you could execute certain plans in order to get that goal finished. I have to work on that a lot at my current position just because I am pulled in several different aspects and I'm able to kind of better utilize my time rather than rushing at the very end to try to get it done. So time management is a huge one. And I feel like a lot of people or a lot of individuals lack on it just because it's not something that can be taught. You just kind of have to learn through the process.
Oh, yeah. No, my when I was a grad student, my mentor said we will never have as much time as we do during grad school. And I just looked at him like, you are insane. But he was right.
That's right. That's
he was right. He said, you think you're busy and you're not busy. Like, okay.
You're just like, wait, what? And then now I'm sure in career field, you're just like, I would go back to grad school any day just to get more time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's totally crazy. So students can approach the job search a few different ways, and a lot of them are anxious to get employment. So when they graduate, they have a plan. This can be difficult, right? Depending on, you know, your agreement with your mentor and trying to get things published before you leave. That's really important. But what do you think are best practices for students who are looking ahead? Like, when do you start job hunting? How long does it take? I mean, the job market has completely changed over the last 5 years even.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, what are just some things for them to think about that they might not be thinking about?
I would say that when you are on your job search, especially if you're coming from grad school, make sure you understand what your dissertation date is, or when your defense date is, and when, what are your obligations, I guess, prior to that defense date. I was told back when I was graduated in 2021 that you should allow yourself 6 to 9 months. With the current job market or era where we are in, I would say even probably 6 to 12 months, just depending. It's unfortunate, but you have to plan that far in advance to just try to see if you are going to actually hold down a job. Another thing that I do have to say is, as coming from grad school, you want to get that first job. Sometimes you do have to be choosy in order to have a company. And something that I've learned in my recent years from working, the company culture means a lot. So make sure that you're not just signing away just because you want a job ASAP. You want a job that you fit in with that team, or you fit in with that company culture, because it makes work a lot more enjoyable. That's for sure. So it's just stuff to look at where you actually are going to be a good fit and you're going to be utilized properly.
Yeah. So this might be a hard question, but how can you ask about culture while you're interviewing? Or maybe it's things you can see on their website. Like, that's a black box of a thing. It's sometimes.
I was about to say, sometimes you don't know until you're in it. But one thing that, like, for instance, whenever I was interviewing with Adiseo, my final interview, I met, I think, anywhere from 10 to 15 different individuals in a day, and kind of had to interview with all of them. And something that I noticed from every single person I met that day is they were super opening or welcoming and warm, and just kind of, and I know they might have put on a front for an interview, but I later found out that that's just who they are as an individual. They were willing not to talk about the high science of stuff. They wanted to know about, oh, how's your family? You know, do you have any animals? And, that's kind of a culture that I look for, is to have a more, I guess, personal relationship in a sense, where I enjoy coming to work every day. I always call them my work family because of the fact that I know about, you know, their children or their animals, or, you know, their mother and father, their significant others. So, I feel like, and maybe it's just who I am as a person, but you get a feel for people whenever you're in, for sure. And, if the feeling isn't right, maybe it's not the right spot for you, and that's okay as well. There is going to be something that hopefully will come up that, like, better, I guess, has your fancy, you know? So
yeah,
another thing that I've also seen is, as I mentioned prior, utilizing your network. So asking around to see if you know anyone or know of someone that you know knows someone that works at that company, and try to pick their brain and try to understand, okay, well, where did you come, or how do you enjoy working there? What are the pros? What are the cons? I even did that whenever I was going for grad school interviews, just so I could understand, is that lab going to be the best fit for me? So I think that's something. It just, sorry, I kind of looped back and I was like, you got to utilize your network. But at the end of the day, you do, because we're in such a small industry. Everyone knows each other. So we're going to be able to chit chat and know everyone and get some real life experience as well.
So let's say you land the job, dream company, whatever that dream company is. Like, what are things that someone who's a new hire can do to be successful? I mean, what are the differences in expectations versus your academic life compared to industry? You know, like, what are some good things to do in the first, you know, days, weeks, months of your employment?
I think one thing is to, and this might sound silly or undermining in a sense, but to always be humble, always be willing to learn and to be open for a new opportunity. While at the same time setting boundaries for yourself that, oh, you're not working 16 hours a day, because that's not enjoyable for anyone. But it's especially coming straight from grad school, you think you were that big fish in the pond. So you think, oh, I know all these things. When in all actuality, once you get into whatever career front, whether it be academia or, you know, allied industry or production, you're that small fish again, and you have to work your way up. So being humble and being able to say, okay, I might not know this currently, but I would like to learn this. I would like this opportunity to understand what the new, I don't know, feed product or feed additive that's coming out, or I want to understand this new research development that I would like to set my academic career on, you know. So I just think that it's very important to be humble and be willing to learn.
I just think it is amazing, the opportunity, even within a small single field, all the things you need to know that you need to learn. But I'm also so thankful that someone else is an expert in those areas, because you can't be everything, right? You got to have your niche and then know who to access for the other.
Yeah. And I think another thing is like you bring up being an expert. Whenever you're starting out at the bottom of the totem pole again, understand that, and people often talk about imposter syndrome. You will soon be an expert one day. It might take many years, but like you're soon, all those people that you look up to will eventually be you one day. So just understand the time, the process, be patient through it. That's the hardest thing, is to be patient through it. But understand that you do have great potential. It's just you're working up to it. So that's also something I always tell grad students coming out, just because of the fact that they feel kind of beat down that they might not have that opportunity for a job right away. But I just try to reassure them that it will happen and you will be, you know, that top person. It's just you have to work up to it. Fortunately and unfortunately, sometimes depends on your patience.
Yeah, you get time to learn and make mistakes.
You have an entire career for that.
Yeah. So since you've been outside of grad school for a number of years, what has been kind of the most surprising thing in your new role that maybe you never anticipated?
I would say how small our industry is.
Oh, yes.
In grad school, I understood, you know, I guess my group of individuals that I would talk to often at conferences and everything. And then coming out on the other side where the grad students come and talk to me for advice and everything, and I realize, oh, well, you should have talked to this person or that person. I'm just like, heck, we know more than half the industry just because we're so well connected. And I think that just, once again, has something to say about the culture of our industry in general, is that we are always willing and wanting to help each other out. So yeah, I was just very shocked of how small the world is. And if you're talking to someone about, if I'm talking to you about, say, Andrea Rubio that you recently met with.
Yes.
It was just whenever I remember you contacting me and you're like, oh my gosh, she talked about you. And I was like, yes, it's such a small world. Just to know how we're all interconnected somehow. So
yeah, exactly. So what has been a challenge that at first was maybe a little stressful, but in the end you're like, I grew from that.
This is for, I guess, anyone that's starting out in the industry, is sometimes people might look down on you or might call you green per se, that you're individual. Sometimes that can be seen as a negative, but I try, as I mentioned prior, I'm very stubborn and I try to kind of turn the thought process around. I always try to think of it being as a positive that, yes, I am fresh, but it also should show that I'm engaging and I'm willing to learn. I'm not here trying to put in a new system into your Feedmo or something of that sort. I'm actually wanting to learn more, and I'm willing to learn more from especially someone that has maybe been in the same position for years prior. So it also kind of goes back to being humble or trying to be humble during your experience.
Yeah, there's a heck of a lot to know.
Yeah, and it's a lot of things that I think of is sometimes being that fresh or new individual, you could be seen as that go-getter, but if that's just your mentality in general, is that you always want to perform or have the best result or help people, that it's also okay to have that personality type too. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, is there anything that you feel is important that you want to kind of hit on again or that we missed in our chat?
Not that I could think of. I feel like I gave a lot of advice. Hopefully it's helpful to someone, but just ensure that you're always open for a new opportunity and be humble through your learning experience. And I guess at the end of the day, trust in yourself because you're your best judge of character. So ensure that you're always out there for learning on those new opportunities and just trying to benefit yourself, your family, and just as a whole. So I hope someone is listening to this and is getting like a big warm hug or something. I don't know, because I just want to ensure that we all have been through it. We've all been through the struggle of trying to find that first job. And I'm at the end of the day, you're going to find something that suits you best.
I think this is encouraging to remember that everybody goes through this no matter what.
Yes.
I think you forget that yeah. People also had to have a first job at some point in their life.
I was about to say, I feel like sometimes, and even through grad school, say you're going through a hard project or something or a hard trial and you're like, why isn't this working? Every single person has been through that or has been through some kind of trial or tribulation. And it's just how you overcome it and how you learn from it. So hopefully someone learns something and understands that we're all going through it, and to reach out to individuals just to maybe how to better go through it or understand the situation.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Beringer Ingelheim. Health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International. Creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Berg & Schmidt Animal Nutrition, your partner for extra animal performance. Probiotech International is driven by innovation, inspired by nature, and passionate about contributing to a more sustainable, safe, and healthy food system. We work closely with our customers to deliver solutions to current and future challenges facing the animal production sector while using natural active ingredients such as chemotypes and polyphenols derived from plant extracts and spices. Our products follow a rigorous scientific validation process. They are then proven to work through thorough field research, certified for quality, and then brought to market as a complete and effective solution. In a world filled with rapid change, let Probiotech International deliver your opportunities for solutions and savings to your program. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information.
Well, before we wrap up, I want to ask you the three questions that we ask all of our guests. The first one is, do you have a favorite poultry resource that you reference in your daily work?
One of my favorite poultry resources that I reference quite often, and I've honestly sent this to like several of my colleagues, grad students, and I'm like, if you're a nutritionist, you should have this book. It's the Chicken Nutrition Book. That's literally what it's called.
Oh, but nice.
It's a lot about the biochemical interactions with nutrition, as well as just fundamental nutrition. So that's, and it's literally a chicken nutrition, a guide for nutritionists and poultry professionals, and very straightforward, but a really good book. It definitely helped me with my prelims and still today in my life.
That's great. I love physical books. I am so bad at PDFs.
I'm a very tangible person. I need to touch and fill the pages. So
The second question is, do you have a favorite non-poultry resource that you've been watching or listening or reading lately?
Something that I always like listening to, like, I guess, self-help or information or books or podcasts. And one that comes to mind that I love listening to because she's just a funny individual. Her name is Elise Myers. She has a great podcast. And she is very lighthearted about very serious situations. So it's always nice, once again, to see someone else is going through it, but in a different light. So,
yeah, I also listen to her and love it as well.
Yeah.
So our last question actually dovetails very well into the topic for the day. What is your best advice for somebody in the industry to be successful?
I feel like I've been saying this entire podcast. As I mentioned prior, stay humble, always be open for a new opportunity that best suits you, and know that even though you might not be the expert in the room currently, you will be one day. Just make sure you listen to those around you.
Yeah, I think that's a great summary. And I almost feel like you planted me in the audience to ask you a great question that you 100% got.
Great. That's exactly what I wanted. I planned all of
it. Yeah, you nailed it. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. And for everyone listening, if you enjoyed this episode, give us a like and follow us for more great advice from Dr. Arielle.
Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity once again. It was a great, great, great time.
We'll chat with you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.